All right, it's about time for us to begin and start our congressional singing. First of all, I would like to introduce Brother Baker. He's visiting us from the state of Pennsylvania. So when you meet him, give him a good Kentucky welcome. And if you have any questions or anything you want to ask him about his lesson, be sure to ask him briefly after service. But we're going to begin. We're going to start at 2:30, and we're going to end at 3:30. Don't have too many visitors this time, so if I do call you, I might have to call you back up here. I might have to go back around. But first, we're going to start with page 113. We're going to have a song and then a quick prayer. And after that, I'll just start announcing brethren here from this congregation to sing three at a time.
Thank you. 47, please.
Page 47. Those with the lesson we had this morning also.
There's not a friend like the Lowly. Wait. Never forsake me, promise divine, bed, never can fail.
Let's sing 561.
A couple of brothers already mentioned the song that is kind of long as the line of the lesson. So I only caught the last part of the lesson because I was somewhere else this morning. But it said before, here's the day when the pictures you fight about, you roll back kind of the thing we had talked about from the loud noise. Christians know what's going on. And you know, the dead Christ arrives and tell us a whole lot from this. So let's just think about it. 561.
Stand up! Let's stand up. 561. And the fourth stanza, we'll sing a little faster, okay? We'll sing the fourth stanza a little faster. That's kind of the way a lot of congregations do that. So, fourth stanza. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea
in part.
Thank you.
Children have
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We have really sang here today, and it has really been wonderful. It's not for us, but it's for him.
Amen.
So it is my hope, through the effort that we have put out, that he is smiling upon us in this building, and that's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. What must I do to be saved? The Jews in Acts 2 asked that. Saul, he said, what would you have me to do? And then the jailer, he cried and fell at their feet. These three different scenarios brings to our attention people who recognize that they needed to do something that they were not doing. And that's where salvation starts. We have to get to the place where we say, I need to do something that I've never done before. If we don't arrive at that line of reasoning, we will never be able to form a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just no way around it. So when we get to that point and we conclude that we need to do that, there needs to be some time for us to learn. We have to be willing to listen to someone bring the truth our way. It's always been in the Bible the teacher-student ratio. There's never been any signs given or somebody look up and you see a cow jumping over the moon or something like that, and that means you're saved. No, it's always been the teacher-student relationship. John 6:45 tells us, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that has heard and has learnt of the Father will come unto him. So we have to be taught. We have to be introduced. Remember Acts 8 where the man in the chariot said to Philip, I can't understand this scripture unless somebody guide me. So I always tell people, you know, if you want to know what it takes to change your life into something different than what you've ever thought of before, by God, you have to invest time to learn. So we've spent some time here today. This is a good start. Learning time. But you have to be able to learn. And then after you learn, after you've sat and you've learned and you've listened, you have to be willing to accept what you've learned. You just learned some information. Now, is that information true or is it false? If you accept it as true, then that means that you believe that it is your answer. The Bible teaches that. In Acts chapter 15, verse 7, we see there that the people heard God's word and then they believed it. So if you acknowledge that you accept it as God's way, then you're on the right steps. You're taking the steps in the right direction. Some of the things you're going to learn, though, may somewhat surprise you. We listen to what God wants us to do, and then we hear him telling us, I don't want you doing that. I want you to do this. And I find that so many people today run into a roadblock there because they seem to think that whatever it is that they're doing, they can just keep doing it. But if you're trying to form a relationship with God, we have to realize there may be some things that we just don't do anymore. Now, there's a word in the scripture for that, and it means change. It means stop, and that word is repentance. As you learn from God, are you willing to say, I'm willing to make changes to behave the way he wants me to behave? If you're willing to do that, then that's repentance that you are taking on. And since you're doing all of this changing and listening and grasping, are you willing to acknowledge what the scriptures say about the Son of God? Person has to be willing to do that, because in 2019, there are so many things out there that you can believe in. If you go to a mosque, you're not going to hear them telling you to accept Jesus Christ. You go to the synagogue, you're not going to hear it in there either. So, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the answer, as you're going to learn if you study long enough, will you embrace that? Would you be willing to acknowledge that he is that Savior, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8? You know, he left us a good example. He just said, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then after that, as we said this morning, this sin thing is really bad. It will stop a person from entering into heaven. So we got to do something about this sin. Sin is like mosquitoes. You say, I can't sit on my back porch, too many mosquitoes out there. Well, that means you got to get rid of them. Well, you have to get rid of this sin. And the Bible has an answer for that. As you keep studying with a person, you'll find out that there is something, a cleanser. It's called baptism. It cleans real nicely. You take a body of water and you step into it. And you allow someone to immerse you under that water. Just push you down under it. It's just an action. And once they push you down so far where you're underneath, they will then lift you back up out of it. Just like that. Just like that. Just pushing down and being lifted back out. You not know that simple action washes away your sins? Bible teaches by doing that, because that's what God wants you to do, your sins are washed away. You know, Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and baptize. That's what he said in Matthew's 28 chapter. And then later on, we find out the reason why he told us to go and baptize. Paul, when he rehearses his conversion to the people in that courtroom, he says in Acts 22:16 that his baptism washed away his sins, cleansed him, washed him completely clean. He came up out of there a new creature. And Romans chapter 6 is a very good chapter to start if you're a little bit confused about this action of being pushed down into water. Well, your teacher will take you there and he'll study that with you. And he'll show you that from that text. That's the new birth. It's called the new birth. You rise up a new creature. But despite all of that, the one thing that we can never lose sight of after doing all of that is something called faithfulness. Well, you went through all of what I've just said, and now you're walking that road. You never look back. You never look back at where you left, but you look forward. Are you willing to do that today, to look forward? If we baptize you in the next few minutes, you're willing to look forward and never look back from whence you came. If you're willing to do that and hold on until your last day, you can be saved. you can be saved. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you that crown of life. And that's all that it takes. And then you have a relationship with God, and you can just keep it. You can keep it as long as you want, because he's not going to drop his side. If any side is dropped, it's going to be you. So that's why I say you can keep it as long as you want. You want to keep it till death? Keep it till death. I hope you don't keep it for a month or so and get rid of it. But some people do that. They only keep it for a month and then they're gone. Don't do that. Keep it till death. If you're here and you have obeyed God and you've had a relationship with him and somehow you feel inadequate in your service and you want to, from this moment on, up your game, up it, take it to another level, this is a good time. Let it be known. We'll pray for you. So we've selected a song. This is the invitation. If you feel subject in one way or the other, let your wishes be known. We'll have this song of encouragement.
580, all three stanzas, then the chorus. All three stanzas, then the chorus. 580.
Oh, heart bowed down with sorrow. Oh, eyes that long for sight. There's gladness in me.
Yeah.